Australian Bee Gees hitting up Breck on Friday, the 20th of April. I have one of the stars on the line. He plays Barry Gibb. Michael Clift on the line. Good morning, mate. How are you?
I'm doing good. Yourself?
Yeah, pretty good, mate. Very excited that you guys are coming down to Bunbury. We appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule to pop down and see us.
You're part of our busy schedule.
Well, that's very true when you put it like that. Do you like getting out of Vegas with a permanent residency there? You must get a little bit sick of it.
Well, I think it's like this. You sort of, that happy balance where you miss it when you're away for a while and you want to get back there because it's a nice lifestyle and it's an easy gig to do because, you know, it's sort of like the closest thing a muso ever has to a day job when you're playing in the same theatre every night and 6 nights a week. But eventually, after a few months, it's nice to break it up a little bit and come on tour, and then I go back. So for me, it's a nice balance because I can pick and choose.
Yeah, absolutely. I love Vegas. I was there about 4 years ago, and it was a lifestyle that I'm scared that I probably could have enjoyed too much if I was there permanently. Did you have that when you first started there?
Yes and no. I mean, we were going out a lot, we were sort of meeting people and other performers, and there was a lot of red carpet things because our agent and publicity people were trying to get our name out there. Nobody knew us. So it was a bit of a whirlwind the first few months. We just seemed to be going to red carpet things and different venues and watching other shows. But we're also very busy with our show too. So it was a sort of fine balance of, you know, you want to do all these things to get the name out there. And then it was like, oh, God, we've got to really fix that bit, you know. And
yeah.
We sort of worked really hard at the start, and we still work hard, but it was really, when the show was evolving, every couple of days, the first few months we got there, because we're always finding new ways to do it, or we're learning so much.
Yeah, I can imagine. You've had over 2,000 performances in Vegas. In any of those performances, have you had any celebrities in the crowd that have made you guys feel just a little bit nervous?
We haven't had Barry Gibb, thankfully. That would make me very nervous.
Yes.
We've had a lot of Vegas celebrities, you know, headliners that have come to the show.
Mm.
And occasionally we'll have actors or someone sort of famous coming in. But it's one of those things where we're actually doing a cruise. It's the disco cruise in early next year. I think it's about February next year. And the lineup's Casey and the Sunshine Band and the Tramps and all of the pretty much the original lineup of that was on the Saturday Night Fever soundtrack, that were on there, and us, you know, we're sort of representing the Bee Gees music and Gloria Gaynor, and it's going to be fantastic. So occasionally we do shows like that where we rub shoulders with the real deal.
Does that make you nervous when you're like, yeah, rubbing shoulders with people that, you know, have seen the Bee Gees for real? They're going to compare me directly with the Bee Gees. They know the Bee Gees.
You know what's funny? It has the opposite effect. It's not sort of nervous or hope it goes well. It's like, okay, let's show these guys what we can do.
Mm.
So it sort of has the opposite effect with us. We don't need people in the audience to sort of put on a good show. We will do that for the people that have paid their money to come and see the show, and we always want to keep a high standard. And you really do, whether in Vegas or it doesn't matter, any performing arts anywhere around the world, you have a high standard, you keep a high standard.
And now Saturday Night Fever, the 40th anniversary tour, that is an album and a movie that resonates with a lot of people. You're going to be doing this massive tour. What can we expect to see on the show?
Well, the show's in two halves. The first half of the show focuses on One Night Only sort of era, which is sort of towards the end of the Bee Gees' long career. And it's like a great, it's a retrospective, really. It's a modern sort of, ish sort of point of view, looking back at their career. And then the second half of the show is completely retro 70s, focusing on all those great disco hits. And we structure the show so that it really, it's sort of interesting at the start, but when we get to the second half of the show, it's pretty much all the disco hits, and it's just a nice way to present the show, and we're really sort of happy with the way it's been going the last few years.
Excellent, mate. Well, we're looking forward to seeing you.
Yeah, we are too, so yeah, looking forward to getting over there.
Excellent, mate. Thanks for sparing some time out of your day today. Michael Clift there, one of the stars of the Australian Bee Gees, hitting up Breck Friday the 20th of April. For tickets, go to bunburyentertainment.com. You'll find all the details there. Heard about Russell Crowe having an auction. Very excited to have him on the line, mate. How did it all go?
Pretty good, to be honest with you, mate. Pretty happy with how it all went.
Well, that's great to hear, mate. Tell me about some of the standout items.
Well, I had me boots for the 1992 classic Romper Stomper. Of course, the Roman chariot from Gladiator sold for about $65,000, if if you don't mind. The jock strap that I wore is Jim Braddock in the movie Cinderella Man.
Wow, do people actually want that?
Oh, shit, yeah. Stuff DNA and that to clone a murder of little crows.
that's actually pretty gross, mate. Yeah, I actually heard that you actually had Johnny Cash's Grammy. Any truth to that?
Yeah, that's true. I've actually got Johnny Cash himself as well, if you're interested.
No, that's gross. What else have you got?
Well, I've got me receipts for singing lessons for Les Mis. I know the director demanded to see them after the shooting for some reason. No idea why. The Mine from Simple Mind. The Bow from Robin Hood. In fact, I've sold a bloody lot. I'm just going to get on the piss, to be honest, all weekend.
Well, Russ, that's good to hear. How are you dealing with the divorce? It seems that you're going pretty well.
Mate, I've bloody forgotten her name. I've nearly forgotten mine, so I better get going.
All right, mate. Well, take care. Have yourself a good one.
All right.
Here we go. Russell Crowe. Seems to be doing well.
Self-deprecating, down-to-earth individual, isn't he?
He's really just a good bloke, to be honest with you. Hey... Well, that is Fleetwood Mac with Rhiannon here on Triple M. Alan for breakfast, producer Aaron with me as well. And, yeah, huge news about Fleetwood Mac this morning, mate.
A massive Fleetwood Mac news. Buckingham out, Neil Finn in.
Yeah, geez.
Hopefully that means they're coming down here.
Supposedly, he was fired.
Oh, I'm sure he was.
Like, he didn't want to go anywhere, and they've just
controversial
gone.
Character.
On your way. So very, very interesting. You read the full story at triplem.com.au. Another thing that I want to quickly touch on, I found this one very interesting. You might have seen about a week ago, there was a photo of a woman eating cereal while driving in Perth. Did you see that?
Oh, I have seen it. Yeah, I actually saw the footage of that.
Well, the footage helped the police track her down. 19-year-old Northern Suburbs woman. She's now being copped a $300 fine.
So she should.
Eating a bowl of cereal while driving is pretty ridiculous.
It's not, I don't want to justify anything. Chicken muesli bar might make a bit more
muesli
sense.
Muesli bar's fine.
Cereal, no good.
Well, snack is a bit extreme.
That's extreme.
Cereal is a no-go.
Yeah.
So that's the standard.
Or
lobster?
Just,
absolutely not. Bree Williams, who's a behavioural expert and founder of People Patterns, to talk a bit about this, using your phone at the table, besides to some people being rude, could actually decrease your appetite. Tell me about this, Bree.
Good to be with you, Ellen, and put the phone down. Yes. So these researchers out of the University of British Columbia annoyed 300 people. So they sent them off to dinner with families and friends, and then they had them fill out a survey, and they put, half of the research participants in one bucket and said, put your phone away, and the other half, I said, you can keep your phone out. And what they found when they got the survey responses back is that those that kept their phones on the table, on the dining table, felt more distracted and enjoyed the meal less. So
it really
reduced their enjoyment of the social experience.
This is bad news for food bloggers.
It could be, although maybe that's under the banner of work. So it's a work function. You've got to Insta your dinner. But the other thing that was quite surprising was that they found people reported being a little bit more bored.
Bored? By having their phone out on the table, they were bored.
Exactly.
That's so interesting. You'd think it'd be the opposite because you got that wonder of excitement in the little phone just there.
That's right. So it has this, what it seems to do is dampen our enjoyment of whatever we're experiencing. So, where it's hard to be two places at once, isn't it? And when we have our phones out, it's like we're there, but we're not there.
Yeah.
We're partly in our phone, we're partly with our family and friends. And so we're not doing ourselves any favour because, we're completely distracting ourselves and not being present in the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. That makes a lot of sense. I'd like to see a study done when it comes to using phones at concerts and gigs, the people that use their phones versus who don't use their phones, and see who enjoys the concert more.
That's so annoying, isn't it?
I mean,
it's so easy to be annoyed by other people. But that's one of the terrors. We are so frightened that we're going to miss the experience, so we record it, that we actually miss the experience.
Yeah, it's almost like that's bizarre, isn't it? Well, Bree, thanks for the chat today, and people don't use your phones while eating. Makes sense. Bree Williams there, and there's a bit of advice for you. It ruins your appetite. Also, just touching on the using phones at concerts, Aaron, your thoughts, what are you for or against it?
Dead against.
Dead against
phones
it?
Phones at concerts.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, can't stand it. Cannot stand it at all.
Yeah, okay. I'm a bit... I'll use my phone at a concert, but normally I'll take a photo of the song that I don't like, and then so that way I just take the photo. Hey, I was at the concert, and then that's it. So when the good song's on, I'm not using my phone and stuff.
I don't want to look back at my phone and look at cruddy footage of a song that it's...
Well, I'm never going to record.
Yeah, I'm just, you're asking for my opinion. It would annoy me to look back at a song that I love and inferior footage of it when I've spent money on that ticket to enjoy the moment.
Yeah, but you like to mosh. You're a weird one. You get right in there and bang your head like a...
I'm an enthusiast, Alan.
Yeah, like a weirdo. A month ago, Al Stewart from Home and Away. Assume he doesn't have a real name. That's his name.
You're a flaming galah, Alan.
That guy. He had a hot sauce come out. We'd later learn that there was a little bit more to it. It was actually a promoter website. But that didn't stop me from buying it. Probably because of the cool ad like this.
Welcome to Ray's flamingHotSauce.com.au. With GoDaddy, building a website is really simple. So come on, Australia. Time to get yourself a website with GoDaddy and get your business online. It's flaming easy.
Flaming easy.
Just me, or does Ray Maher's voice sound a little bit different there? He sounds like he's just getting ready to call the 1956 Olympic Games. Our girl Betty, try my flaming hot sauce today.
Well, that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to try a flaming hot sauce.
You got yours there?
Yeah, I put mine already on a little bit of pita bread, so yep. I'll try that in a second. You want to put yours on something?
Pita bread coming for my breakfast, which is a pork and spinach wrap. And you've gone gentle. I'm going to go hard, my friend.
I just did like five little drops.
Is that what
you
meant?
It smells good, but it's got
it
paprika
does
in
good.
It.
Danny Drummond would love this. It's got paprika in it.
Yeah, so, oh, Jesus, you've got a lot on there.
You don't muck around, my friend.
All right, well, I'm going to go first.
Oh, you go first.
Straight on the tongue.
Straight on the tongue? How flaming is it? Come on.
Tiny bit of heat.
Tiny bit of heat?
Maybe like a 3 out of 10.
Should I go even harder then? Put a bit more on.
Oh, geez, all right. Well,
you got to get value for money, Alan. You didn't buy this big bottle for nothing.
You might not be able to speak, maybe.
I'll calm down.
No, there's no heat to that, actually. I'll give it a 2 out of 10. It tastes nice. L. Stewart, not having a real hot sauce.
Yeah.
Disappointing.
That's all right. I'll put
it
a
tastes
bit
good,
on
but
there.
It tastes good. But
put
it's
good on
hot.
Your breakfast today. Give it a crack.
On your breakfast.
Yeah,
there you go.
On your breakfast. But that's flaming hot sauce. Yeah. Throw it on your eggs.